Welcome to Bruce Success Radio, the podcast that brings you the most up-to-date information on training, nutrition, lifestyle, and business with your host, Helda Barroso.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hope you guys are well. Welcome to episode 31 of the Breathe Success Radio. It's been a while. I'll be honest with you, finding good guests to come on the podcast is definitely not an easy task. Unfortunately, the podcast is not big enough and people don't want to go unless they've got loads of listeners. I'm hoping you guys can help me with this and grow the podcast by sharing it and getting it out there. And the more listeners we have, the more good, very good guests we can get on board. Whilst we don't have many quality guests, I'll try to at least give you quality information. So the next few episodes I'm going to do are going to be based on a fantastic book that I've read called The Mind-Gut Connection by Emron Mayer, MD. Okay, so I found this very interesting. And the reason I want to create a podcast based on this book, episode based on this book is because I really believe this information should be information that all of us should be aware of, and we can start implementing this into our day-to-day lives to improve our health and improve our well-being, not just for ourselves, but our family and our friends, which is hugely important. So before we get into the podcast, what I do want to say is that I'm not an expert on the mind-gut connection. I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not a gut professional. What I am, though, is an avid learner, and I love learning. And one of the parts of learning for me is to educate. So when I learn something new, I would like to teach other people about that. And what a better platform to do that than my own podcast. So everything that I will be saying in this episode and all the episodes that are going to come up, do not take this as medical advice, because it isn't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, like I said. Take this as information and then do your own research as per usual. It's very important that you do your own research and you don't do anything on the back of any podcast or any book that you read. Always do your own research and speak to a professional in that area. But my goal is to give you as much information as I can so that you can make better decisions with yourself and your people around you. We know health is declining rapidly all around the world. You know, huge amount of people are overweight, obesity is on the rise, diabetes is on the rise, cancers are on the rise, and at this moment in time, coronavirus is attacking those out there that have the most vulnerable immune systems. And you know what? We know that nowadays people are 100% staying alive longer. But staying alive longer doesn't mean they're actually having a better life or a better quality of life. Yes, they're increasing the quantity of their life, but this also means a decrease in quality of those extended years. Now, I would love for us to live longer, but also have a good quality of life whilst we are here. And I believe a good step forward is to learn more about the basics of the human body. The more we know, the more we can do to be educated and make educated decisions toward being the better version of ourselves. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the gut. Our gut has huge capabilities. Capabilities that go well beyond other organs within our body. And it can even rival our brain, believe it or not. The gut has its own nervous system. It's known as the scientific literature as the enteric nervous system, which short for that is ENS. The ENS is made of millions of nerve cells. The immune cells residing in our gut make up the largest component of the body's immune system. I'm pretty sure you would have heard of people saying your immune system lies in the gut, and that's pretty true, because most of our immune cells actually do live within our gut. And as per usual, there's a very good explanation for this, because the body is a very smart machine and nothing is there just by chance. The gut is exposed to many potentially lethal microorganisms contained in the food we eat and the drink that we drink. The defense system within our gut is capable of identifying and destroying single species of dangerous bacterial invaders that make it into our digestive system when we accidentally ingest contaminated food or water. Now, just imagine how powerful this mechanism is. It recognizes a small number of potential lethal bacteria in a notion of trillion other microbes living in our gut, which is also known as the gut microbiota. Gut microbiota is becoming this big thing now in the health and fitness field, in the health field, and you probably would have heard of this before. And what is it? And we'll talk about that in a second. The lining of our gut is studded with a huge number of endocrine cells. Endocrine cells are characterized by secretion of various hormones. They're almost like signaling molecules, and they secrete these hormones to the blood. These cells contain up to 20 different types of hormones that can be released into the bloodstream if and when needed. The gut is also the largest storage facility for serotonin in our body. Actually, 95% of body serotonin is stored in the gut. And we'll talk more a little bit about this later, but serotonin plays a huge, crucial role within this gut-brain axis, this connection between the gut and the brain. It is essential for things such as coordinated contractions that move food through our digestive system, but it also plays a huge, crucial role in things such as sleep, appetite, pain sensitivity, mood, and really overall well-being. This is incredible, right? If we were to spread out the gut, if you take it out of your body, spread it out, it would be as big as a basketball court, packed with thousands of little sensors that encode the vast amount of information that is contained in the food that we eat in the form of these signaling molecules, and it can differ between sweet and bitter, hot and cold, spicy or soothing. The gut is connected to the brain through thick nerve cables that can transfer information in both directions and through communication channels that use the bloodstream. Many of the gut signals reaching the brain will not only generate gut sensations, such as the fullness after a meal, nausea or discomfort, and the feelings of well-being, but will also trigger responses of the brain that it sends back to the gut, generating these distinctive gut reactions. Gut feelings are stored in the vast databases in the brain, which can later be accessed when making decisions. What we sense in our gut ultimately affects not only the decisions we make about what we eat and drink, but also the people we choose to spend time with and the way we access critical information. So let me talk to you a little bit more about the gut microbiome. We as humans are made of a series of tubes. Our brain is a huge long tube. I know it looks like a cauliflower, but it is in fact a big long tube. Our digestive tract and our airways are also one big tube. Basically, it starts in our mouth and our nose. Then we have tubes that go all the way down our throat, into our stomach, into the intestines, and it ends out at the other end, where we typically pull it out. Inside of that tube is a mucosal lining. There's little microvilli, tiny little velvety ends of cells that are able to move things along and mucus. The conditions of that mucosal lining set a number of different things. It sets rate and quality of digestion. It sets our immune system. Most infections start by lodging in the mucus of our mouth, believe it or not. We are ingesting things all the time. We ingest air, bacteria, viruses, and they are making their way into our gut. And some of those bacteria live in the gut, and some of those bacteria bias this mucosal lining in the gut to be either more acidic or more basic so that they can make them more of themselves. Some of those make us feel really good. Some of those make us feel pretty rubbish. The gastrointestinal tract, the GI tract, in particular the large intestine, is home to by far the largest populations. More than 100 trillion microbes live in the dark and nearly oxygen-free world of the human gut. If we put all our microbes together and shape them into an organ, they would weigh around 2 to 6 pounds. Bear in mind the brain weighs around 2.6 pounds. Some power that brain, right? Madness. Gut microbiome differ quite widely between person to person. We all that different gut microbiome within us. The microbes present in our gut depend on many factors. They include depending on our genes, our mother's microbiota, which all of us take on to some extent, the microbes that other members of our household carry around, our diet, and our brain's activity and state of mind. So, what's the first rule of the gut microbiome? The first rule is to know that the gut microbiome isn't good or bad. Some of these little bugs that live in our gut make us feel very good, some not so good. In addition to that, they do impact the neurotransmitters and neurons that live in the gut and signal up to the brain to impact things like dopamine and serotonin. And we'll talk about dopamine and serotonin a little bit more in depth later on in other episodes. General rule of thumb related to the research on gut microbiome. So research out there on gut microbiome says that we need to support gut microbiome. And why do we need to do that? We need to do that because it's good for our mood, it's great for our digestion, and it's amazing for the immune system function. On the other hand, however, any alterations to the gut microbiome are associated with a wide variety of diseases such as IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, antibiotic-associated diarrhea, and even asthma. And they may even play a role in autism disorders and also neurodegenerative brain disorders like Parkinson's disease. It's powerful. We don't understand really how important this gut microbiome is and how supporting that is going to have a huge impact on our health. And if we don't support that, it will have a huge impact on our health in a negative way. So what can we actually do to support our gut microbiome? Well, one of the things we can do is actually consume fermented foods. Nowadays, you're hearing a lot about kefir, sauerkraut, pickled foods, live yogurts. All of these are fermented foods, and they are a very, very good way at supporting the gut microbiota without exceeding the threshold that would cause any issues. And the studies tend to show that 2 servings a day of fermented foods is a good place to be. What else can you do to support gut microbiota? I mean, one of the biggest things you can do is make sure that you manage the quality of foods that you eat. So making sure we're not eating a load of processed foods, making sure we're not eating a lot of alcohol, making sure we are eating enough fiber to support our digestion, making sure we're not taking drugs that are impacting our gut. And we'll get into that in a second. A healthy gut microbiome has been seen to improve psychiatric illnesses as well as certain conditions like autism, believe it or not. And this is probably due to just an improved immune function, which if we have a healthy gut, we know that the majority of our immune system lies within our gut, and we know this. So if our gut is working well, our immune system is going to be mostly protected, which is going to have a positive impact on overall health. Some things can really damage our gut microbiome. And again, we are all very, very different. So bear in mind, some of the things I'm going to be saying to you, you may be absolutely fine with it, and some other people may be fine with it, and some won't. We're all so individual and so different, we're just never going to actually know. But a few things that have been shown to have an impact on gut microbiome is the sweetener saccharin. Some foods, drinks contain the sweetener saccharin, so maybe keep an eye out for that. If you are having gut issues, it may be a good idea to not contain that for a while and just see how that goes. A ketogenic diet. When someone shifts to a keto diet, there is a shift in the gut microbiome, and some people actually end up feeling better and some end up feeling worse. Likewise, some people go from ingesting animal products and they experience positive shifts in mood, and others don't. Some people eat more plant-based diet and they feel good, others don't. Especially one of the things that tends to really shift the gut microbiome is a diet enriched with fiber. And again, some people don't feel so good eating a lot of fiber. It just shows you, right? Keto can change our gut microbiome. Some people feel good, some people don't. Eating a diet high in animal products, some people feel good, some people don't, but it also changes our microbiome. Eating a diet high in fiber and high in plant foods, some people feel good, some people don't, but it does change our microbiome. So all of the things that are happening, processed foods, whether from meat or plant-based, they tend to create activity within the body that lead to overconsumption of calories, and this also leads to more weight gain, but this also leads to a shift in gut microbiome. I guess the point of all this is we need to find what is right for us. So find the root cause of what's causing you issues, remove it, see how you feel. That's the only way we are going to be able to support our health and support our gut microbiome in a way that's right for us. There's another thing that nowadays has become very, very common, which is fasting. A lot of people talk a lot about fasting and fasting for this. When we fast for longer than one day, we digest certain components within our diet tract, believe it or not. And it actually depletes a good amount of the gut microbiome in major ways. Now, this is not always necessarily a bad thing, because when it's replenished back again, it often levels out and it even exceeds the previous level. But typically when people return back to eating what they were before, they don't feel so good, both physically and mentally, as they did when they were fasting. When they were fasting, after that beginning bit of the fasting where you're feeling a bit tired, maybe feeling a little blurry and you feel a bit low. But after a day, you actually feel pretty good. If you've ever done that, you will see that. But on the introduction of the food back in, you may feel a bit down and tired. And that depletion of gut microbiome is significant, because when you do return to eating, your gut microbiome and your gut is actually not in the same position to digest and assimilate those foods. And those foods are not in the same position to impact our brain and body in the same way they did prior to that fast. So be wary of when you fast that things will change, and when we introduce things, it may not make us feel as good as they did before. So we need to maybe look at foods that are going to support our feelings of feeling good, and maybe replenish that with the foods that don't make us feel so good. We're going to finish off a little bit on this gut microbiota, and if it falls out of balance with our gut-brain axis, this connection with the gut and the brain. So there's a huge amount of evidence that the mix of gut microbes falls out of its healthy, stable state in several gut disorders. If you've got a gut disorder, you might have heard the name of dysbiosis. That's what a gut disorder is. And this could be severe diarrhea, an inflammation in the gut, from a treatment of antibiotics. Believe it or not, guys, antibiotic treatment is hugely, hugely negative when it comes to impacting our gut microbiota and the diversity and abundance of normal gut microbiota, which what that does when it impacts that and diminishes our diversity of these bugs in our gut, or, you know, the gut microbiota, it really leaves room for these pathogens to come in and attack us, and this can lead to a huge amount of problems. So it's really important to know, and I mentioned this earlier on, that drugs, antibiotics can have a huge impact on the way our gut changes, and especially our gut microbiota. So this is actually quite scary for me, because as a youngster, I remember many, many times going to doctors and being given amoxicillin, which is an antibiotic for maybe, I don't know, any little viruses I might have had, or throat infection or nose infection or this infection or that infection. I remember taking this on a regular basis. Now, I also remember having a really poor digestive system, which has probably affected me all my life since then, which then got diagnosed as IBS and take peppermint tea and take peppermint tablets. And really, maybe all I had to do was, after an antibiotic treatment, all I had to do is maybe consume some fermented foods, maybe take a probiotic to support my gut microbiome, maybe increase a certain amount of fiber intake. Maybe that's all I had to do. But I didn't know. And because I didn't know, that would have probably had an impact on my physical and mental health. Maybe I was going to school and I wasn't able to concentrate because of this gut-brain connection that was out of whack due to the fact that I had antibiotics. And this is one of the reasons I want to do this podcast. So I want you to realize that this is information that we all should know. And if we know this information for ourselves and for our children and for our friends and for our family, we can at least advise them, right, this is what's going on. If you are taking antibiotics, I'd recommend that maybe you look at taking a probiotic when you finish that to support your gut. Maybe eating some fermented foods to support your gut so that you don't get these problems. And honestly, it's simple things like this that we should know. Our brains and our guts, they talk to each other. And they talk to each other in this biological language. The microbes not only inhabit the inside of our gut, many of them actually sit in razor-thin layer mucus and cells that coat the inner lining of our intestine. They live in this intimate contact with major information gathering systems in our body. This location allows them to listen as the brain signals the gut how stressed we are, how when we feel happy or anxious or angry. And we're not fully aware of these emotional states. We don't know that these are happening. We don't have to know. But this connection and this signaling from the brain to the gut is happening on a regular basis. But they're not just listening. As incredible as this may sound, our gut microbes are in prime position to actually influence our emotions by generating and modulating signals the gut sends back to the brain. So what may start as an emotion in the brain can and will influence our gut. And this is all generated by our microbes. And the signals, in turn, can communicate back to our brain to reinforce and sometimes even prolong these emotional states that we are in. I find it incredibly, incredibly amazing. Actually, recent research shows that the ENS, our enteric nervous system, undergoes nerve degeneration typical of Parkinson's disease long before these classical symptoms of the disease actually appear. And that changes in patients' gut microbiota composition to come... Hold on, you're losing your words here. Calm down, mate. But basically, what this is saying is, this research is saying neurodegenerative disorders are on the rise. Things like Parkinson's, things like Alzheimer's disease, because of this gut brain communication that's going on all the time. And it's really having an impact on our race. And we need to know this stuff. Earlier on, I mentioned to you about the serotonin, and how 95% of our body's serotonin is in our gut. How many people do you know today that suffer with depression, anxiety? They'll go and see a doctor, and what did the doctor do? They give him antidepressants. They give him Prozac, Paxil, and Celexa. Guess what these drugs do? These drugs boost the activity of the serotonin signaling system. 95% of this signaling system is in our gut. So, it begs the question, if our gut were healthy, would we feel depressed as much as we are? Would we feel anxious as much as we are? Maybe we wouldn't. I find this remarkable. I really, really do. So hopefully you find this as remarkable as I do and as interesting as I do. And if we can support our gut microbiome, support our health by knowing about it, being educated about it, we can do something about it. So hopefully, guys, you've enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed telling you about this stuff. And we will continue in the next few episodes with more about this gut-brain axis and how the gut and the brain talk all the time. And we'll talk more about things that will hopefully have more of an impact on you and your family, and we can start using it pretty much straight away. I will link the book in the notes below. So if you want to read the book, you can just go to the link and head over to Amazon or wherever you want to buy it from and read it yourself. In the meantime, I will try and explain to you in my own words what I got from the book and how I feel is important for us to know. And hopefully that will give you an understanding of the basics of what we could potentially do straight away. Thank you for listening, guys. I look forward to speaking to you on the next podcast.